Welcome to the Infrastructure Show. I'm your host, Professor Joseph Schoeffer of Northwestern University. The Infrastructure Show is designed to present to listeners the reality of America's infrastructure, its condition, why it is the way it is, and what can be done about it. We gratefully acknowledge contributions to sustain the Infrastructure Show from Dr. Robert Peskin, Dr. Raymond Ellis, and Andrea and Ron DeFeo. Infrastructure projects move on money. And while the money can come from many sources, large projects involve some kind of borrowing, use of other people's money for a period of time. To get a better understanding of how we finance infrastructure through borrowing, we're talking to Scott Trommer, who's Senior Director, Advisory Service U.S. at WSP USA, a professional services firm specializing in, among other things, infrastructure and transportation. Scott, I'm really happy to be talking with you today.
Thank you, Joe. I'm happy to be here and have the opportunity to spend some time with you today.
Great. So let's start out with some easy questions. How important are bonds, a main form of borrowing and financing big infrastructure projects?
Sure, Joe. Bonds are really a critical element to the plan of finance for delivering large infrastructure projects. The revenue streams that typically are used to support infrastructure projects, whether it's coming from toll revenues or from a dedicated tax source, those cash flows are typically insufficient to match the spike in construction needs for the delivery of major projects. So, bonding against those revenues, leveraging those revenues, helps to accelerate those cash flows and provide sufficient proceeds to deliver projects in a timely and cost-efficient manner.
So what we're really doing, if I understand correctly, is we're time shifting. That is, we're getting the money now to build the project now and cover that large initial cost with the idea that we'll pay back over a much longer period of time.
Exactly. So we're, as you said, we're bringing up now, we're getting the present value of those benefits. And in order to get the present value of those benefits, obviously borrowers, government agencies need to pay back investors, for, borrowing that money. And there is an interest cost associated with, bringing those dollars up front and ultimately paying back the bonds.
So one of the things that tells me is that in aggregate, if I'm going to sell bonds to borrow money to build my bridge, I'm going to pay more for the bridge than if I could write a check for it today.
Exactly. It's really the same concept as in personal finance, securing a mortgage to finance your home. Clearly, if you had all the money up front to buy your home from your own cash, it's cheaper to do that than borrowing, securing a mortgage and borrowing and paying, interest on that loan. But transportation agencies, like individuals, don't have, vast amounts of cash available to, pay for large, needs up front, and hence have to, tap the capital markets to, finance those needs.
So who lends the money? Who buys those bonds?
So, the municipal market is pretty diverse. The issuance of bonds are managed by teams of underwriters who sell those bonds to investors. Investors, typically comprise mutual funds, individuals, banks, insurance, but a lot of the participants in the municipal market, directly or indirectly, are retail investors, what typically referred to as mom and pop, investing either buying bonds directly or by participating in a tax exempt municipal bond fund.
So they, in effect, they kind of share the risk if they're buying through the bond fund as opposed to buying an individual bond.
Sure, exactly. Yeah, well, yeah. As as we know, you know, mutual funds provide the ability to spread your risk and, you know, diversify your investments across a portfolio of investments rather than through a single issuance of, you know, one particular bond.
And what's the role of the underwriter?
So the underwriter is, you know, responsible for putting together the structure of the debt, marketing that debt to potential investors, getting feedback from investors on what is attractive to them in terms of what particular, you know, bond maturities they're most attracted to, what types of, you know, couponing or interest rates are most attractive to them. So it's really a balancing act where, you know, investors want, you know, to secure bonds, you know, at, you know, the highest possible interest rate, but at the same time, you know, the issuer wants to sell its bonds at the lowest possible interest rate. And so at the end of the day, the underwriter and the issuer's financial advisor work to meet in the middle where both parties are satisfied.
Does the underwriter take any kind of financial risk?
They can, and they do sometimes. So in instances where there, you know, bond deal is where there are unsold balances, there's two options that underwriters will pursue. One will be to try to find a market clearing price, and that may require that the interest rate on the bonds will have to go higher in order to entice investors. Or the underwriters will take the bonds in themselves, take it into their inventory, and either hold it or eventually, you know, try to sell it at a subsequent date, or there's some combination of the two that are pursued.
So they really are in the middle, kind of playing this, as the words you used was a balancing act.
Yes, exactly.
So as a lender, as a buyer of a bond or a mutual fund, what are the risks that I would take in a situation of helping to support a large-scale infrastructure project?
You know, it all depends upon the security or the revenue payment stream that the issuer is pledging to lenders or to, you know, bondholders. So for a toll road project, it is, you know, the toll revenues that are being used to support the construction, operation, maintenance, and debt service on that facility. So really the key credit risk you have to look at is the economic strength of the travel market being served, the ability of the entity's toll raising flexibility both on an economic and legal basis. What's the competitive nature of the toll facility relative to nearby toll facilities or free facilities? For a tax supported bond, you know, one where the debt service is being paid from, say, a sales tax, a gas tax, or, you know, a multi-source transportation trust fund, really it comes down to what are the economic fundamentals of the taxes being levied and pledged to bondholders. So, you know, clear understanding of, you know, the regional or state economic environment that underpins those revenue sources, as well as, again, legislation that's in place to, raise taxes when necessary. And then other covenants, you know, both for decade tax bonds and toll revenue bonds that provide certain structural protections, you know, those that provide clear directions on the flow of funds to, you know, priority of payments for debt service, covenants to limit debt issuance, or to control debt issuance, and requirements to maintain a ratio of pledged revenues to annual debt service, as well as, you know, requirements for maintaining internal liquidity or reserve levels.
So those are a lot of risks. Who is in the market assesses those risks? My understanding from what you said is that the nature of those risks is going to affect the cost of borrowing or affect the amount of interest I would demand before I buy the bond.
Sure. So the primary source for assessing risk are the bond rating agencies. So the three largest are Fitch Ratings, Moody's, and Standard & Poor's. And they, you know, are the independent arbiters that, you know, consider these risks, apply them relative to their rating criteria, and assign the ratings, you know, relative to, you know, the review of these risks against their criteria. And really at the end of the day, a rating is an assessment of probability of default. So, you know, the higher the rating, the lower the probability of default, the more secure the bond is.
So the rating agencies have to look into the finances of the bond seller and also of the characteristics of the project itself. That's a lot of stuff to look at. Do they have a really deep capabilities to pursue these issues?
They do. And, you know, so there's a lot of analysis that goes into this. So it's an assessment of, you know, all the economic and revenue generating issues that, you know, I mentioned. There's review of, you know, supportive legislation, a review of the bond documents, so a legal analysis. And so, you know, that analysis can get to be pretty complex depending upon the complexity of, you know, the project. So, you know, perhaps the most complex credit analysis will involve debt support issued on behalf of a public-private partnership that's governed by an agreement between a public sector sponsor and a private sector concessionaire.
I want to ask you another question about public-private partnerships, but before I do, who pays for this rating service, the risk assessment?
So it's always been an interesting issue. So the issuer is the one who pays for the credit rating. So you would think there would be some level of, you know, is there a conflict of interest between the credit rating agency that's receiving a payment from the issuer and its ability to assign an independent rating? And so, you know, rating agencies manage that perceived conflict of interest by having a firewall between those who negotiate the rates, you know, the rating fees, their business development people, and those who do the credit analysis. And so the credit analysts are completely separated from the, you know, the business issues.
But the evaluation itself, it sounds like it's an extensive process. And it's an expensive process, I would assume. I would think for large projects, you might be talking about millions of dollars for this.
I mean, I don't have a full sense of, you know, what the, you know, it's been a while since I've have been involved in fee negotiations with, you know, rating agencies. But, you know, the more complex the transaction is, the higher the fee is. I haven't, you know, generally, you know, more complex transactions are probably in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, where less or in the tens of thousands of dollars.
And the ratings clearly are going to affect the cost of borrowing, right? They're going to determine the interest, or the market will determine the interest rate in response to the ratings.
Yes. Yeah. So really the interest rate calculus is in part influenced by existing market conditions, demand for the type of credit that's being offered, the rating on, you know, the credit, and, you know, while investors, you know, will rely on, you know, rating agencies to do for portion of their credit analysis, over the years, you know, institutional buyers have, you know, started to build back up their own internal credit capabilities and conduct their own internal credit analysis as well.
Do the results of this rating process ever kill projects?
Really, where a rating can have a fundamental impact on whether a project goes or doesn't go is for, say, a startup, standalone, you know, toll road project or a non-recourse, revenue project that's dependent upon new revenue. So really, the threshold for those projects is to secure a minimum investment grade rating, you know, a BBB-, you know, rating that allows them to have the greatest access to investors. And so at the end of the day, if a rating is assigned that is non-investment grade, that really does impinge the ability of a project to go forward.
So I would assume that the response to that is to kind of go back and for the project proposer to do its homework and clean up the project and improve the prospects.
Yes. So one thing, you know, the rating agencies do is offer a service of preliminary credit assessments or preliminary assign, you know, say a not a rating, but an initial credit assessment to give an issuer a sense of where the potential credit quality of a project is given a certain set of assumptions. So, you know, at the end of the day, the rating agencies, you know, goal is to be transparent with issuers and investors. So, sometimes there's surprises, but they do try to limit the surprise issues.
Very interesting topic, Scott. I really appreciate your spending the time with us. It's been an education for us. I'm going to, as soon as we're done, I'll have 5 more questions and maybe we'll bring you back and try to get some answers to them. But thank you very much for spending the time with us today. I really appreciate that.
It's been my pleasure, you know, spending this time with you, speaking with you. Would love the opportunity to continue our conversation in the future.
Great. We'll look for it. Thank you very much, Scott.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Infrastructure Show. If you enjoyed the conversation as much as we did, please subscribe to our podcast and encourage your friends to join us too. The Infrastructure Show is recorded at the Studio Media Recording Company in Evanston, Illinois, under the direction of Scott Steinman, recording engineer with a commitment to great sound. Our producer is Marion Sowers, a journalist with a passion for infrastructure. And I am Professor Joseph Schoeffer. Few people are more curious about infrastructure than I am.